Well, this morning, as I mentioned, we're into our second Sunday of Advent, and the theme for today is on peace. We're picking up from our last Sunday's Advent message on hope that invites us to receive the promise proclaimed by the prophet Jeremiah that a righteous branch would come in due time. As it says in Jeremiah 33, verse 15, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. As I mentioned last Sunday, when Jeremiah was prophesying these words that God had given him, it definitely was not a season of peace for the nation of Israel. That in fact, they were in a time of despair. Having once again being attacked by nations around them, and in particular, the nation of Babylon. And so really, yeah, it again was just not a peaceful time for the nation of Israel. And indeed, today, here we are in the 21st century, and it feels so far and so foreign for a passage that is so often read at Advent season to still have any relevance in our world today. And yet it does, because we recognize that the peace that we desire is still not evident in our world today. I don't really have to mention very much beyond the headlines of our news outlets, media, social media, and such. And you know we are not living in a season or a world at peace with one another. When Jeremiah proclaimed this passage, prophecy about the righteous branch that would sprout from David's line, he was referring to this branch, this descendant of David, who would bring justice and righteousness, everything Israel had longed for. They were seeking to have justice because they wanted to be free from the occupation of others, but also to be made righteous as well, that God, in his promise, would restore Israel to its former glory and under the kingship of David. This branch, though they were thinking would be someone that would be a warrior king type of person, would then be revealed in God's Son, Jesus, who was born in a manger, raised in humility, crowned on the cross, and is still giving life today. As I mentioned in last night's devotional, that when the three wise men came to bring their gifts before the king, Jesus, they did not find him in the halls of splendor, that there was no golden columns, there was not scented perfume in the air, but rather, as I said, he was born in a manger, raised in humility, crowned on the cross, and is still giving life today. The gift that keeps on giving doesn't come just once. Christ keeps coming. He comes into our hearts, into our circumstances, into our broken spaces, bringing you new life. It is not wrapped in paper, not placed under a tree, not delivered by human hands. This gift comes from the heart of God, spoken into a moment of national despair, and is still giving life, hope, and righteousness today. Now, what's really cool is Jeremiah concludes his proclamation with the promise of safety and justice in the land in Jeremiah 33, verse 16. That promise began at Christ's first coming, and it will be completed at his second coming. Today we look into Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 to 10. And if you didn't know, the name Isaiah itself actually means the salvation of Jehovah, or others have interpreted it as Jehovah is our salvation, and Jehovah is being one of the names of God. And he too also speaks of the branch to come in chapter 11, verse 1. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. To put this in chronological order, Isaiah actually lived 100 years before the prophet Jeremiah. So this was a promise that has long existed in the history and in the minds of the nation of Israel. That Jeremiah was not the first to mention this branch of David, but in fact, it was already prophesied 100 years before. And it's really neat how this worked out, because again, with Isaiah and his name being Jehovah is our salvation, what we find in the book of Isaiah is a lot of our messianic prophecies are from Isaiah himself. He talks about the coming Jewish Messiah, the future earthly kingdom of Christ, and Israel's role in the kingdom. And two, again, in this time period of Isaiah's life in the nation of Israel, they too were also under threat. That it was not a season of peace in the nation of Israel, except that this time they were under threat by a nation before the nation of Babylon rose to power, which was the nation of Assyria. And so to kind of give us some context to our chapter 11 verses, we actually need to go back to chapter 10. And chapter 10 gives us a view of the potential threat that Israel was experiencing. This is unlike the anticipation that we look forward to, or children look forward to at Christmas Day, as they wait days and perhaps weeks in anticipation of receiving a gift that they have wished for. This is not that kind of anticipation. This is an anticipation that this nation would come and essentially destroy. You can actually read in chapter 10, verse 9, Isaiah identifies the destruction of multiple ancient Near Eastern cities, which obviously don't mean anything to us today, and we hear the cities like Calno and Carchemish, Hamath, Arpad, Samaria, perhaps you may be familiar with that, and Damascus. The point that Isaiah is trying to communicate here is that the nation of Israel knew that the Assyrians were on their way, and slowly one city after another, as they were coming through, was starting to fall, and they were wondering, what's next? You know, when it's not a matter of if the Assyrians will come, it's a matter of when will they come. So confident were they in their military might that the king of Assyria actually gave an arrogant speech that as they had already conquered several cities, Judah would be defeated along with the others. However, this would not come to be, as it says in chapter 10, verse 17, Assyria's downfall actually came about in 612 BC, when Nineveh, and we all know where the city of Nineveh, where have we heard that before? There we go. Yes, it's the exact same Nineveh. The city of Nineveh, the capital city, was destroyed. Assyria had been God's instrument of judgment against Israel, but it too would be judged for its wickedness. And then once the Assyrian army was destroyed, a small group of God's people would stop relying on their idols and and start trusting God as described in chapter 10, verses 20 to 21. Essentially, Assyria had become an instrument of God's judgment against Israel for their practice of idolatry. And when God came through and saved them from the nation of Israel, that they abandoned their idols and again started to place their trust in God. Chapter 10 concludes with the prophecy that Assyria would be like a tree cut down at its height of power, never to rise again. But Judah, which is the lower half of Israel, would be where the royal line of David would come, would be like a tree chopped down to a stump, as you can see in the picture here. But from that stump, a new shoot would grow, the Messiah. He would be greater than the original tree and would bear much fruit. The Messiah is the fulfillment of God's promise that a descendant of David would rule forever. And you can refer to this in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16. Israel's greatest hope is that God would provide another king like David who would bring about national peace. Essentially, they were wanting to go back to a time when they had relevant prosperity and peace that was found through the leadership and the kingship of David. And they wanted another king just like David who would then again allow the nation of Israel to prosper and to experience peace. However, this was not the long view of the salvation of Jehovah. Yes, indeed, David was empowered by the Holy Spirit. You can read that in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. But the prophesied Messiah is more richly endowed with a threefold fullness of the Spirit. And this is the Messianic King whom Isaiah is prophesying will be the Savior of the world. He would be a king that would have wisdom and an understanding for leadership. He would be a king, a Messiah king, who would have counsel and might to carry out his wise plans. And most importantly, that this Messianic king would have the knowledge and the fear of the Lord for holiness. In other words, what he's trying to address to the people of Israel is that don't look for their savior that will offer the peace that they desire in a man or men's attempt at trying to establish peace, but rather to turn to the one to seek that Messiah King who will be the fulfillment of this prophecy. Said another way, Isaiah describes the one who will restore peace on earth as put as a one who is wise, understanding, full of counsel, mighty in compassion, deeply rooted in the love of God. Isn't this a king worth following? This is the Savior we are waiting for, not a king who intimidates us, not a ruler who overlooks the weak, but a Lord whose heart bends towards the poor, the hurting, and the forgotten. So what will this messianic peace look like? Well, Isaiah really paints a world, I think, that we don't recognize. He talks about wolves and lambs living together. He talks about calves resting beside lions. He talks about children playing near places of fear without being harmed. And in a way, we can probably relate to this, even though we know it is metaphorical, that Indeed, we know that wolves and lambs, as we see them in their natural environment, aren't naturally going to cuddle up to one another, are they? That's just not going to happen. Cows don't rest beside lions, and who in their right mind will allow their children to play near adders? You just don't do that. And by the way, I'm glad that Dr. Nichol is here today, and you know, I know where he grew up, there were adders. Children, don't play with adders. And so what he does is he presents for us this upside-down, other alternative to the peace that we seek to have here on earth by our own making. This is what Isaiah is really saying. It's not just poetry, it is a promise. It is God saying through the prophet Isaiah, one day, everything that frightens you will be healed. One day, everything that divides and destroys will be no more. One day, peace will not be fragile. It will be the air you breathe. Moreover, this messianic peace will not be limited to the nation of Israel, but to the whole world, as it says in verse 10. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. Advent reminds us that God is still moving the world towards peace, even when we can't see the end of the story. But as his people, as we are his disciples today, through Jesus, that God continues to use us, his church, wherever we are planted, to be able to restore and to bring about this message of peace that, as Nola said, begins with us, but also is to be shared and to announce, as Isaiah said here, to announce the peace that is to come and the one that we most desire. So what does this mean for us today and in this moment? Well, let's return back to this image of the stump and a root. A stump is what you see when something has been cut down. Something that once stood tall, something strong and living, is now reduced to a lifeless base in the ground. Isaiah spoke at a time when Israel felt that way, cut down, disappointed, afraid, unsure of who they were or where their story was going. And some of us may feel that way today. Advent is honest with us. It doesn't pretend that everything is bright and perfect. It tells the truth that life has stumps. Times when a dream has ended, a relationship is strained, a season of life feels barren, faith feels tired, or the world just feels overwhelming. Isaiah meets us there. Isaiah begins right there. Not in the flourishing garden, but at the stump. And he invites us to listen and to seek for what God can do in places that feel finished. It also means your stump is not the end. Where we see a dead end, God sees roots still alive. And from this stump, a shoot grows. When we think of God beginning something new, sometimes we just imagine it must be something dramatic. But God begins his greatest work with something small, just as his son came to earth as a baby in a manger in a backwater town. It started small. And Jesus is the representation of this tender green shoot in a nation that felt like a stump. The shoot of peace for us can start in a small conversation, in a quiet reconciliation, in a simple act of kindness, in a prayer whispered where you felt you couldn't pray. This is one of our core values here at Killarney Park, that we seek to be a faith community where we practice and live out shalom across generations. And certainly we see that in our world today, that there is this uneasy peace or lack of peace between the generations. This passage reminds us and offers us the hope and the reality that messianic peace is coming. Not the thin peace the world offers, but the deep peace Christ brings when the world is full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And so this peace is not about fear. It doesn't come with confusion. It doesn't come with pain, but with the gentle, steady presence of God. Can you imagine with me a world where no one feels far from God's love? A world where God's peace is felt everywhere. During this Advent season, as we light candles and sing waiting songs, as we look at a world that feels weary and at lives that sometimes feel worn down, let us remember, rejoice, and hold in our heart Isaiah's promise this Advent season, that God brings life from the places we thought were finished, that God brings peace where fear once ruled, that God brings a Savior who meets us in our need and leads us into His joy. And so we wait, not with fear, but with hope, for the one who comes as a shoot from the stump, gentle and mighty, humble and holy, our peace and our promise. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Amen. Will you join me as I close in prayer? Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this Advent season. We thank you for this promise of the real peace, the messianic peace that comes through your Son, Jesus. And Lord, that as we, as His image bearers and also His spirit bearers, that Lord, that you call us as your people to experience your peace first, and out of that real sense of peace, as others around us, Lord, struggle and worry about finances, strained relationships, as they think about the wars around the world, and the discontent that is arising, and it strikes fear in our hearts. Father God, this passage and this season reminds us to turn our eyes to you through your Son Jesus, who will be the one who will restore this earth as you had intended, to be in that, to have that peace, where once again that lions and calves can live together and not try to kill one another. And so, Lord, it speaks so much to us today still that this is a peace that we long for, and a peace that is not found in our own intelligence or our own ability, but really a peace that comes through our placing our trust and our faith in your Son, Jesus. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.